Thank you so much. And good afternoon, everyone. A real pleasure to be here today with you. And I'm Jorge Familiar. I'm the treasurer of the World Bank. I'm under the impression that the World Bank doesn't need an introduction, but that's my impression, so maybe I will introduce the World Bank to you. You know, in the world, the mission of the World Bank is to eradicate poverty and to promote shared prosperity. And we do this in a sustainable way. I like to describe the World Bank from a financial point of view as the most efficient private capital mobilization engine ever created, because, you know, we have a relatively modest paid-in capital that, you know, has been coming into the institution since we were created in 1945. Our paid-in capital is $20 billion. And with that and the reserves that we have, you know, accumulated throughout the years, we have gone to financial markets, raised $1 trillion, and translated that into lending for sustainable development in the amount of $830 billion. You know, again, our mission, poverty reduction, economic development, that's a tricky line of business, right? I mean, it's an area which requires enormous effort, enormous work. We are active in as many sectors as you can imagine, from health, from education, from job creation, from infrastructure. So, you know, whenever we go to the market and issue a security, what investors are buying into is precisely this sustainable development growth process. You know, we are very focused on our mission, and disaster risk management plays an incredibly important role within that mission. And why is that? As I was saying, you know, poverty reduction, the reduction of inequality, economic growth, you know, it's are the result of a lot of work over a lot of time. Nevertheless, when natural disasters hit, negative externalities materialize in countries, what has been gained through these very painful and long winding processes can be lost overnight. No, you know, some events like Hurricane Mitch in the late 90s come to mind. No, where 2% of a country's you know, GDP disappeared practically overnight in Honduras, and also leaving countless deaths along its way. So, when you think about it, you know, disaster risk management, disaster risk preparedness, building resilience is an integral and essential part of what we do. We are right now, and maybe some of you have heard about this, right? We are in the middle of a strategic conversation with all of our shareholders, the countries of the world, about our mission and our vision. You know, the last few years have been marked by massive crises, one on top of the other, very complex, you know, circumstances and environments, from a pandemic, from rising inflation, rising interest rates, war in Europe, I mean, rising food prices, looming food security situations. And this has led to a realization that, you know, talking about poverty eradication, reduction of inequality, and sustainability is not enough. That there will be a need to focus even further on the creation of global public goods. And again, as part of this strategic process, I believe there are two important things for this group here. One is, we are focusing on increasing our financial capabilities and taking full advantage of what we do in financial markets to further our mission. So this leads to insurance-linked securities on the one hand, and then on the other side, I mean, I was talking about resilience and disaster risk management. We have a new president. You know, he arrived in the bank, and by day three, he was talking about natural disasters, and are we ready to do what it takes to help countries face what is coming and what is happening already in areas, for example, like climate change. No? And you know, very early on, he came up with this idea that we should not follow an instrument-by-instrument approach, but rather we need to help countries, on the one hand, build resilience, and on the other hand, build robust safety nets with different layers that will allow them to deal with natural disasters of different intensities and different probabilities of occurrence. And hence, you know, there is clearly a space for cat bonds here. We have been active in, let's say, in providing or making available insurance products to our client countries for close to a decade now. You know, we, between reinsurance operations and cat bonds, have provided support to countries in the amount of close to $6 billion during this period. And right now the idea is, you know, what else can we do and how can we do more of this in support to our client countries. Along the way, we've had lots of interesting innovations. And, you know, let me tell you a little story here. You know, I mean, I've had many incarnations with the World Bank, and I don't know why all of them lead to cat bonds, right? I was Mexico's representative at the board of the bank. We had a hurricane. I get a call from the Minister of Finance. You know, the insurance market had disappeared, and the reinsurance market had disappeared after that. And you know, he was very concerned about the issue, and you know, that concern and that situation led to Mexico being the very first World Bank client on a cat bond. And then, you know, years later, I became vice president of the World Bank for Latin America and the Caribbean. And, you know, we had one country, Jamaica, that was going through a fiscal consolidation process and had done a tremendous effort on the fiscal consolidation front. They were running a primary surplus of 7% year after year. Just imagine what that means for the population of a country in terms of effort. And at the same time, every October when the hurricane season would start, I would be like, please God, spare Jamaica of a hurricane, right? Because these enormous efforts on fiscal consolidation and fiscal prudence can be washed away in two nights. And this led to a conversation with the Minister of Finance of Jamaica, the current Minister of Finance of Jamaica, by the way, in which, you know, we started saying, look, maybe we need to sit down and come up with a safety net for Jamaica to be able to deal with different types of events. And maybe at the very top, there is space for a cat bond. And in recognition for what you have done on the fiscal consolidation front, have donors pay for the premium while Jamaica cannot do it because you're still in this fiscal consolidation path. I mean, that transaction actually came to be, and it's one of our outstanding cat bonds, the outstanding cat bonds that we have. But it sort of like paves the way to the kind of things that we would like to do going forward. No? So, again, large funding program, lots of opportunities to add additional layers of sustainable development on top. And all of you here, you know, what I would like is to invite you to become close partners with us, because I see a great opportunity to scale up the activities that we can conduct in this space for the benefit of, on the one side, you know, sustainable development and you know, the countries that are still on a path for development, but then also bring something positive to financial markets, right? Because, I mean, my sense is that this market is concentrated in certain geographies, concentrated in certain types of risks. And one of the things that I believe we could bring to the table is a very interesting product, first and foremost because the underlying, you know, bond is funding sustainable development projects. And it's issued by a AAA-rated agency, and hence you know, I would call it risk-free from a credit point of view. But then also, you know, we can bring a higher level of diversification to the market. So, you know, really looking forward to working with you in further developing this market and in further contributing to a mission of sustainable development. And, you know, I think that we're going to turn this into a conversation, which is something that I would very much prefer to a monologue. So, you know, all yours. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jorge. So it's really great to have you here and really great to hear you calling out to the market for partnership and support as well and talking about the safety net, which is obviously super important for your members and for the rest of the world as well. Perhaps you could talk for a little bit about sort of the two things that are really required on the disaster risk management front. It's not just capital, it's also capabilities as well. And obviously the cat bond market is known as a market that can put a price on risk, which can also therefore help, we would think, within the countries to give them some visibility of what they're facing as well and what they might need to pay to procure protection. So the twin sort of capital and capabilities, obviously the World Bank is working in both areas as well, and do you think they're equally as important, or is it the capabilities first and the capital comes after?
Well, I think that this is an excellent question, right? And it's very consistent with what Ajay Banga, our new president, is looking into, no? You know, this shouldn't be an instrument-by-instrument approach, right? I mean, we, at times, you know, as I feel as the... I felt when I was in the operational side as the people that go into the Mexican subway and sell things, no? So and so they go like, you know, I have this, and it costs you this, and the value is this, no? And we were approaching to a certain extent disaster risk management in a similar way, no? So we have lines of credit available for to support countries in the management of disasters. So we would offer lines of credit. And then, you know, we would develop a different type of project, a product, and we would offer this new product, no? And maybe even cat bonds fell into that category. Look, we have cat bonds. Do you want a cat bond? I think that the approach to disaster risk management needs to be comprehensive. And we need to help countries develop an understanding and to come up with a strategy that meets their needs in terms of the coverage that they will need for different types of events, of different probabilities and different intensities. And at the same time, we need to provide the, let's say, the different, we need to provide the instruments that will fill some of the slots in that, let's say, safety net with multiple layers, and help them put together the ones that the countries need to put together themselves. No, I mean, maybe at the most basic level, what we're talking about is identifying line items in a budget that can be easily transferred from one place to another in order to respond to a natural disaster. Maybe in the next layer, you take advantage of existing platforms. I mean, again, sorry if I talk a lot about the Caribbean and Latin America, but in the end, I did work there for many years. You know, in the case of the Caribbean Risk Insurance Facility, right, which is a facility that has been supported by many donors and several multilaterals, and you know, is readily available to respond very quickly. And then at some point you reach the level of a cat bond, and that deals with the 100-year event, and it's a different story.
No, it's interesting, and Jamaica, obviously a very good example because of the amount of work they'd put in internally to really get their own disaster risk management in place before they started to look externally, and CRIF being a big piece of that as well. How many more of your members do you think are on that maturity road in terms of disaster risk management who could one day move into the cat bond market?
Well, so as I mentioned, you know, we really, I mean, I believe that this has reached a point where we should look seriously at scaling up. I think that we have barely touched the surface when it comes to, you know, to being participants in the cat bond market, right? We again had this transaction with Mexico, and that led to maybe other transactions with countries close to Mexico. No, at some point we did a deal with the Pacific Alliance. Again, I was in the region at the time. The Pacific Alliance wanted to do something together. The Minister of Finance of Mexico, in a conversation, said, "Hey, can't we do a joint cat bond?" We said, "Well, why not? Let's give it a shot." You know, it was a very large transaction at the time. It was the largest, over $1 billion cat bond, four countries. I think it was more than four policies. Now it's time to make this part of the conversations that we have with every single country with respect to their exposure to risk and natural disasters. This doesn't mean that every single country will need or will have a cat bond, but it will mean that we should be able to bring different risks to the market, and this should be good from a perspective also of diversification for investors.
Sure. And when you talk about different risks, I know there's something Michael and I have spoken about in the past, is the potential for the World Bank to look more broadly than natural disasters as well. Is that something that you still would have an ambition to do? I mean, areas like famine and various other perils that your members face.
Yeah, I mean, we did one transaction, which is the pandemic one, right? Now, it created an enormous tension, at critical points in time, right? Because, you know, at some point we were having a very clear pandemic and the thing had not triggered. And then the other issue is that some of the triggers are not particularly appealing, right? I mean, when one of the parameters that needs to be met is number of, people dying, I mean, that's a tough one, right? And in the eyes of the public, it creates a lot of attention and not necessarily the good attention. I mean, in the end, the insurance ended up paying. It was positive to have it. I do believe that we have appetite to look into other types of risk. I mean, we have done things on the earthquake front and also hurricane front, but there are many other risks that that are out there, and we should be in a good position to help countries cover them, right? As we do with financial risks. I mean, when we can, we offer our client countries the possibility to hedge against interest rate volatility or currency depreciation, right? So why not all sorts of risks?
Sure. And you mentioned plans to build capacity from private markets. I know there was a big announcement about this, and I can't remember the numbers, but they're quite significant, the amount of capital you want to try and bring in to support your work. Do you see the ILS market as a critical piece of that? Because it can obviously support the resilience of the countries who are going to benefit from the wider capital tools that you use.
Well, so I think that there are two conversations related to that. No, I mean, one is if we are talking about helping countries eradicate poverty and helping the world deal with global public goods, and when we think about the amounts that are needed as investment to achieve meaningful results in these areas, I mean, the needs are huge, right? So there are lots of things, and there's lots of innovation that we are bringing to the fore in order to respond to this demand from our stakeholders, right? For starters, the other reason why I'm in Europe and I've been here for a couple of weeks is because we are planning on issuing hybrid capital, right? And we are planning to issue hybrid capital for shareholders and development partners. And, for every dollar that we issue of these things, we will be able to lend $8 for sustainable development. So we already have a large funding program. If things work out the way I think they will, we will have a larger funding program. This will also create more opportunities to feed into the insurance-linked market. And then, we will do more of these types of transactions, like cat bonds, where we really have two layers of sustainable development, right? I mean, we have the basic funding that comes into the institution and funds sustainable development operations, and on top, the insurance product that is, I see it as part of, an integral part of sustainable development. The other thing that we have been doing, and we also want to scale this up, and I know that maybe this is not of the direct interest of this audience, but are outcome bonds. No? You know, very interesting bonds. You know, we issued our rhino bond. I was told that I should never talk about cat bonds and rhino bonds in the same sentence, because the question that follows 99% of the time is what types of cats? So, you know, the rhino bond, we issued a bond, regular part of our funding. The coupon, instead of going in whole to the investor, part of the coupon goes to two parks in South Africa, funds a wild rhino, black rhino conservation project. If at the end of the life of the bond, which is also the end of the life of the project, we have more black rhinos than a certain number, a donor will come in, make investors whole, and pay a premium depending on the level of success. If the project is not successful, investors lose the coupon that went to the parks in South Africa. We want to do more of these things.
It's a very interesting concept because it actually ties in quite closely to some of the resilience bond concepts that we've seen in the insurance market, where people are trying to provide sustainable or resilient infrastructure financing with catastrophe risk transfer built in as well. Probably only got a couple of minutes left, so I thought I'd ask you, in one of your recent transactions, you said it was very important to have access to the capital markets as well as traditional insurance, and you issued cat bonds simultaneously with cat swaps as well. And some people perhaps don't realize that there's the two different instruments going out at the same time to different market participants. But how important is that to give you the scale you really need?
Well, I think that that transaction in particular was fascinating, right? You know, Chile wanted a sizable insurance. And at a point in time where maybe the market was not at its best possible time, no? So, you know, Michael and team decided that we needed to open all the channels and all the options available to make sure that we would deliver on what the client was looking for. And it was also, I mean, from my point of view, fascinating because it pretty much showed and proved that markets have, you know, enormous power, right? We have had, in the World Bank, we have discussions about everything. As you can imagine, there are a lot of extremely smart people, and we are debating and discussing everything to death at all times, no? So, you know, there were some arguments that went along the lines of, why are you issuing cat bonds if there are companies which are specialists in risk, and they are the ones that will always give you the best possible price? You should only go to insurance companies, right? And guess what? You know, this very large transaction, what led price formation was the bond part of the transaction. So I found it actually fascinating, very interesting, and it really, you know, drew attention and has been a very important case-building exercise for the scale-up of our cat bond activities going forward.
A good example for other members, hopefully, in the future as well. I think we need to move on to the next panel, unless there is one question from the audience, perhaps. Nope, I think we'll move on to the next panel. Jorge, thank you so much. Please put your hands together.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.